Our first scripture lesson today is from Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2 and 19 through 29. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and God has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and as you can guess, it is Matthew's version of the story we have come to know as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which commemorates the day that we have come to celebrate as Palm Sunday. And this is the story as told in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Let us listen to this familiar story with new ears. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Help! Help! Please! Save us now. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna is not a praise, but a desperate plea. It's a Hebrew phrase that means God save us now. And in the 118th Psalm, which we read on this day every year, it says, we beseech you, we beg you, we plead you, save us. And this is what the people are shouting to Jesus. And they're shouting this because Jesus' reputation precedes him. The expectation of who people think Jesus is precedes him, because he has been out in the villages and the countryside and the byways, healing people, exorcising demons, performing what people believe to be miracles. He's been serving as a teacher, teaching people how to live. He's a social activist, motivating people to follow him, to practice and live in this way of life that he has called the kingdom. This is what precedes Jesus. And the people standing on the side of the road are desperate for such a person. They have lived in oppression. They have lived in the misery of the shadow of the Roman Empire and the temple, Pharisees and priests. And they are hungry. They are seeking relief. And this is the crowd that greets Jesus as he comes into the city. And evidently, this word, this energy, this hope rolls through the city much like a stone hitting a pond and rippling, because the story tells us the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? And the answer that Matthew gives us, is this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth. Palm Sunday drips and oozes irony, because our traditional celebration of Palm Sunday really doesn't fit what is taking place in this story when you read it in the gospel accounts. Because the people are looking for someone to rescue them. And I would suggest that on this Palm Sunday, more so than perhaps any other Palm Sunday since the actual day that Jesus rode in Jerusalem, on this Palm Sunday, the world, the whole world, is in one way or another screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the great irony is that they think Jesus is going to come in and just make everything okay. But the clue is in what they call him. The people say, who is this? And they say, he's the prophet Jesus of Nazareth. And are their memories so short that they forget what prophets do? Prophets proclaim truth. Prophets proclaim truth to power. Prophets raise up the oppressed and bring down the oppressor. Have they forgotten that this is what prophets do? And they are surprised as the week goes on, this week we call Holy Week, because Jesus gradually turns out to be not who they expected him to be. It is a week of defiant action on Jesus' part, this Holy Week. Defiant action, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and in the other Gospels as well. The first thing he does is he goes into the temple and he turns over the tables and chases out the money changers. He talks about the hypocrisy in the church. Then he questions the authority of the people who say they have authority, because they are questioning his authority. And he immediately says, "And who says you have authority?" He's in and out of Jerusalem. He knows Jerusalem is a dangerous place. He knows he is raising the anxiety and the fear of the power structure in this city. He won't stay in Jerusalem during the day. He goes back outside Jerusalem, usually to the city or the village of Bethany, and then comes back into town during the day. And while he's in Jerusalem during the day, he's teaching. He's teaching in the streets. He's teaching in the temple. He's teaching at dinners with lunches with people. He is teaching. And let me just go through this litany of Jesus' teachings during Holy Week. He teaches about wicked tenants who are killed and says that the cornerstone will be rejected because these wicked tenants have possession of the property, and these wicked tenants are killed so that others can come in. He teaches about wedding guests who fail to answer the invitation, and so everybody is invited in their place. He teaches of a God of the living, not the dead. He teaches of the greatest commandment, which is love God and love your neighbor. He teaches a defiant message. He has this famous passage where of the woes to the scribes and Pharisees, where he tells the scribes and Pharisees of their injustices, of their greed, of their cruelty, of their control of people. He laments over the city of Jerusalem as the city that kills its prophets. He talks of the desolation and destruction that will come to Jerusalem because of this, and the need for watchfulness, for attention to what's actually going on. And one of the most famous passages during this Holy Week is Matthew chapter 25, where he talks about the least of the goats and the sheep, the people in power and the least of these. And the big question in that story of the goat and the sheep is, when? When did we see you, Jesus? When did we see you and not feed you? When did we see you and clothe you? A story that tells us that Jesus comes to us in ways that we don't even recognize. And then leaders conspire to kill Jesus because of all of this. And he's anointed by an unnamed woman in Bethany. His last night in Bethany. He is anointed by this unnamed woman. And Judas betrays him. And then he goes into Jerusalem for that night that we know as the Last Supper. And then he's arrested. And there is this scene between Jesus and Pilate and a coward's kangaroo court. And Pilate washes his hands of the whole thing. And he gives the people the choice. You can have Jesus or you can have Barabbas. You can have this innocent man who is proclaiming truth, or you can have this known criminal. Which would you set free? Who do you vote for? And the crowds by this time who have been manipulated by the leaders scream, Barabbas, Barabbas. And to Jesus they scream, crucify him. So in the course of this week we call Holy Week, oh, how ironic. During Holy Week, we move from save us now to crucify him. Because he shows us the way. We want that salvation. We want it so desperately, just like we do today. We want it. But Jesus says, you're not going to find it the way you think you're going to find it. You are not going to find it in the power structures. You're going to find it in the least of them, the least of us. You're going to find it in normal, everyday people. You're not going to find your salvation on the daily news. You're not going to find your salvation at the news conference / briefing. Those are the places where we are being told, oh, choose Barabbas, choose Barabbas. We need to listen to the regular people. We need to listen to where the salvation really is. We need to be listening to the nurses. We need to be listening to the hospital attendants. We need to be listening to the physician's assistants, the doctors, the medics, the paramedics, the grocery workers, the truck drivers, delivery personnel, food service workers, teachers still teaching online. We need to be listening to the people who are literally responding to our call to save us now. And at the same time, the agents of greed and control are working within the chaos. Sometimes very stealthily, not only to retain, but to expand their wealth and power. And perhaps the question for us on this Palm Sunday of Palm Sundays is, To whom are we singing Hosanna? Amen. I want to share a litany that has been posted online by numerous people. Many of you will recognize this. Truckers said, "We will drive days on end getting supplies to the stores. Store workers are stocking the shelves all night." And store manager said, "We are letting elderly people shop first in the mornings." Carnival Cruise Lines told the government, "We can match those big Navy hospital ships, Comfort and Mercy, with some fully staffed cruise ships." General Motors said, "We can make those ventilators where we were making cars starting next week. We will retrofit our manufacturing equipment immediately." Restaurants said, "We have kitchens and staff. We can feed kids whose parents need some help." NBA basketball players said, "Hold our basketballs while we write checks to pay the arena staff." The wealthy said, "Here, we will donate funds for the research in support of beating this virus." Teachers said, "Here, let me help you virtually to teach your children. We will do online lessons, and I will help parents enrich their children." Celebrities said, "Let us read books to your children and sing songs on Twitter live feeds for those of you stuck inside." Crafters said, "We will sit at our sewing machines for hours a day, sewing masks and caps for the nurses and home health care workers." Moms said, "Here are my blogs and activity ideas for your children. Let's stand together in staying home with our kids." Young Americans said, "Let us volunteer to run errands and get food for the vulnerable." Nurses and doctors and certified nursing assistants putting themselves at risk to help the infected. Police, firefighters, and first responders, military standing strong and continuing to protect, serve, and work while everyone else is safe in their homes. We look like a world divided sometimes, but we are a world that will stand together, and we will survive this. In cities around the world, a wonderful thing is happening. At the times when the shift changes at hospitals, overcrowded hospitals, at the time when the shifts change, after workers are headed for home, after sometimes 12 and 18 hour shifts, people are standing outside these hospitals. Sometimes they're lining the streets, and they're lining them with pots and pans and applauding those workers. And as our charge today, let us applaud everybody that we have mentioned here. Let us shout Hosanna to the people who are actually saving us. Join me in that, would you? Right now, wherever you are.